This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan and together with me, T. Xiao Ik. So last week, four new sports were announced to be included in the Paris Olympics that are happening in 2024. And one in particular has become the subject of much attention, and that is the sport of breaking, or as some of you might know it, breakdancing. So while there has been excitement at the inclusion of breaking in the Olympics, it has also been met with skepticism. So we're going to be discussing what this could mean for breaking as a dance form and for the breaking community.
But for the rest of you, we'd like to find out whether you agree with breaking being included as an Olympic sport from 2024 onwards. We are running a poll with that question at BFM Radio. That's our Twitter account. You can take the poll there. You can also comment on our poll to tell us what other sports you think should be included. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so for you B-boys, B-girls or breakers out there, 2024 might be your year because it might be that your chance to win an Olympic gold medal as breaking will become the one of the new additions of the Paris 2024 Olympics. So breaking, you know, which is, I suppose, very commonly known as breakdancing, especially among the uninitiated. Mm-hmm. It was among one of the four new sports that are being introduced in the Olympics. The other three are skateboarding, sport climbing and surfing.
So just for some background, breaking is a style of street dance. So of course, the term, it's sometimes used interchangeably with that term breakdancing, like you said. Although many in the breaking community have said that they want to distinguish themselves from the term breakdancing, and they actually prefer for those two terms not to be interchangeable. It's pretty complex type of movement. If you think about it, breaking incorporates coordination, acrobatic and intricate body movements, a lot of style and aesthetics as well. And it's got its roots in the hip-hop movement in the early 1970s, and it has become the most widely known hip-hop dance style today. And it's really a subculture by itself. It has its own unique lingo and history and community that's built around it. But like you mentioned, Sharmila, its inclusion in the Olympics has been met with mixed reactions, and that's something that we will be exploring more in a bit with our guest for the day.
Yeah, but why these four sports, right? Now, they are part of a plan by Thomas Bach, who is the president of the International Olympic Committee, to make the games, and I'm quoting here, more gender balanced and more youthful and more urban. So the idea is, I suppose, to attract a younger audience to the games and to have a stronger focus on the youth. So the 2024 Games will also see exactly 50% male and female participation. They've actually been sort of announcing this quite proudly along with the inclusion of these four new sports. And that is following the gender equality that was already achieved for Tokyo 2020. And that has 48.8% female participation, which is an all-time high.
So like we said, breaking will be making its official debut in the 2024 Games. But in fact, it had already been previously included in the 2018 Summer Youth Games that took place in Buenos Aires in Argentina. And the other three sports that you mentioned, skateboarding, sport climbing and surfing, will be making their official debut in next year's Tokyo Games, which was supposed to take place this year. But of course, we know what happened this year. Mm-hmm. So in fact, these four games were actually proposed by the organizing committee for the Paris 2024 Games last year. Now, I couldn't find very much confirmed information about how breaking as an event will be judged. But if we take how it was done in the 2018 Youth Olympics, they used the Trivium value system, and this involves three broad areas of assessment. One is physical quality, one is interpretative quality, and the last being artistic quality. And then a breaker's technique, variation, creativity, spontaneity, and individuality will all act as faders that then affect their final score.
So while the breaking community has greeted this news quite excitedly, the inclusion of it in the Olympics has also been met with a fair amount of skepticism. One concern, and I found this quite interesting to read about, one concern is that breaking's culture will be co-opted, or that its authenticity will be twisted when it once it makes it into the Olympics. Mm-hmm. There are also a lot of people talking about the fact that something like breaking has its roots in African-American culture, and to make it into a sport kind of almost co-ops it from a community and moves it away from those roots.
Yes, right.
And there's also a concern, of course, that the Olympic judges might end up valuing more of those technical difficulties, something that can be easily scored, rather than those intangible qualities that make something like breaking unique, you know, passion, originality.
Yes, right.
And, you know, something that's an art form that then crosses over into being sports, you can kind of see how those elements that are more artistic might end up being overlooked. So according to news site USA Today, they spoke to Richard Crazy Legs Colon, who is one of the pioneers of breaking. And he said that it's important for prominent breakers like himself to work with the IOC and with the World Dance Sport Federation to make sure that breaking stays true to its roots in the Olympics. And so I'm just quoting a little bit from him here. It goes beyond just the moves, the passion and the pain that goes with living through struggle. And that is the essence of the dance. You want to make sure that the soul of it isn't diluted. And really, it's that idea of struggle being an important part of sort of the DNA of hip hop culture, of breaking. When you make it a sport, how do you retain that, right?
Yeah, I mean, you make it a sport and you put a number to achieve the pinnacle, so to speak. That doesn't seem to jive with what breaking really speaks about, you know. Concerns aside, we must acknowledge that there has been a lot of welcome for the inclusion of breaking. Of course, let's have a look at what British breaker Karam Singh had to say. He told BBC Sport that it'll give breaking more recognition as a sport while also attracting youths who may not follow the more traditional sporting events. And Sean Tay, president of the World Dance Sport Federation, said that it's a historic occasion not only for B-boys and B-girls but for all dancers around the world. And then UNESCO chair in dance and social inclusion, Nicholas Rowe, also shared similar sentiments. He says that the backlash is due to the fact that, like gymnastics and figure skating, breaking has a creative aspect that makes people question its sporting nature.
Yeah, which is what we've been also sort of dancing around.
I mean, what you brought up though was putting a quantitative score to the creative aspects of breaking. But I guess some detractors are asking, well, if breaking is sort of a dance activity, where does it belong in a sporting event?
Right. Yeah, I've heard a fair number of people saying that as well. It is, however, I suppose you can make a case, right? It's quite easy to see why they think things like breaking, you know, surfing, skateboarding, why things like these would interest the youth more. You know, these things often seem to be within that young people sphere of interest.
I don't know, though. I mean, breaking broke out. Breaking.
We were young.
Yes, exactly.
Which is like late 70s, early 80s.
Exactly.
But, you know, you see things like street dance battles. You see them going viral on YouTube, even here in Malaysia, you know, and they usually involve younger people.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, one could argue you have to be relatively young and fit to be able to do most of these moves. But having breaking in the Olympics will definitely bring it more visibility. So for that alone, I suppose it makes sense why many people in the community are quite excited about it.
And it is what's the word for it? It's an event that appeals to the youth, and regardless of what era, it's still popular across the eras, but in every generation, it appeals to the youth. But I don't want to go on about it. Let's get another perspective from Hua Wei An. He's a dancer and choreographer, and he'll be sharing his thoughts with us. Thanks for joining us, Wei An. Let's start with terminology first. So in reporting about this news, and earlier, we ourselves also used the term breakdancing. So does do breaking and breakdancing mean the same thing? Is there a right word to use?
I think in particular an article that I saw on the CNN, it said breaking, and then in inverted commas, elite breakdancing is now being part of the Olympics, as you mentioned. And I think the way that this article starts off kind of portrays, implies that there's a difference between breaking in general and an elite level where it becomes elite breaking and then you call it breakdancing. But that's very much a false dichotomy. because breaking is breaking, whatever level you do it at, whether you are just beginning or whether you've been doing it for 30 years. And with regard to whether breakdancing is a correct term to use, it's not. Breakdancing is kind of a legacy of a period in the 80s when breaking was still a relatively young dance and the media got a hold of it and started to incorporate it in TV shows and so on. And breakdancing was kind of used as a catch-all term, putting breaking and other dances like uprocking and popping and locking together. And it was a kind of a misrepresentation of a culture, because breaking very much comes from a specific time and place in history that includes the culture from which the dance emerged, and not just the dance itself. But the use of the term breakdancing kind of eschewed all of that and just portrayed breaking as one specific thing, when it is actually something that is nuanced and belongs, as I said earlier, to a specific time and place and draws from that time and place. Or you could also call it b-boying or b-girling, a b-boy or a b-girl being the person who dances with the music. As a little side note or addendum, the term breaking comes from, or being a b-boy or a b-girl is a break boy or a break girl, because you dance on the break of the music, the part of the record where the lyrics tend to drop out and there's just a looped beat. So the emphasis is on the beat and the rhythm of the music, and you dance with that. So because you dance with a break, you're a break boy or a break girl.
That is so interesting. So coming back to the news itself, what was your immediate reaction to hearing about breaking being introduced as an Olympic sport?
Well, when I first heard about it, I was and am still kind of iffy. I don't really know how I feel about it, because I do very much believe that breaking isn't a sport, it's a dance. And how this is going to play out in the Olympics is tricky and it's complicated, because a dance is ultimately an art form, even if it is a highly physical art form, especially a dance like breaking, where so much of the emphasis of both the dance and the culture is originality and individuality and not doing moves the way other people do. How do you judge a dance like that in the context of the Olympics, where who wins and who loses is generally quite a clear-cut thing based on points and ranked systems? But for example, one of the things that I was thinking of was, if breaking is in the Olympics, why not a dance like hula from Hawaii or ballet, which, if I understand correctly, are much more codified than breaking. For example, with regard to ballet, people have been doing the same variations or the same solos for years and years and years now. And part of the appeal of ballet, or part of the way ballet is looked at or judged, is that people do the same solo and you see who does the same solo, the same choreography better. In the bit where you're supposed to do pirouettes, can you do more pirouettes than the guy or the girl before you? But in breaking, everyone is trying to be their own person and not do the same solo as someone else. So it's a bit of a, I don't really know where it's going and how it's going to play out. It is exciting, but at the same time, I don't know if it's necessarily a good thing to throwing breaking into the category of sport.
So some articles have said that because breaking is often seen as a competitive battle, that it lends itself well to being recognized as a sport. But do you think that this competitive edge will translate well into something like the Olympics?
I think it will definitely translate well in the sense that it will be exciting because, yes, as you pointed out, breaking is very much about competition and about battles, but it's also a very different kind of competition from what we see in the Olympics, in the sense that breaking is very much a street culture, or if you will, and this is my own opinion, it's kind of like a folk culture where it's less like you have a set of rules and then two people come out and dance and you have to follow the rules and be respectful. It's more of a situation where it's like, hey, I'm really unhappy with you right now. And instead of punching you in the face on the street, I'm going to challenge you to a dance-off as a relatively more peaceable way to resolve disputes. But at the same time, there's a dancer whose name is Mr. Wiggles. He's an old school street dancer and he's actually a popper. Although if I'm not wrong, he used to break as well in his earlier days. He said, and again, I'm not entirely sure if it was Mr. Wiggles, but it was one of these old school b-boys, these early dudes. He said that breaking and battles actually caused more fights than they solve because people would have a battle to sort something out and then they get into a fight after a battle because they couldn't agree who won. And because the dance is a dance and it's subjective and it's hard to judge, it's a different kind of competition from the clear cut, you scored this many points and I scored this many points, so this person won.
So, Wei-An, do you think it'll be easy to draw a hard line then between sports and dance? You know, considering that the Olympics is introducing breaking and some parallels have been drawn with gymnastics in the sense that they both have a more creative perspective, will that line between sports and dance become more blurred?
I'm not completely sure how gymnastics is judged, but I guess the closest analog to breaking would be the gymnastics floor exercise where they have the gymnasts have the big space and they go across the floor. But in the floor exercise, the gymnasts also have very clear criteria that they need to hit in the sense that there's a certain number of passes that they need to do back and forth. There are certain moves they have to do to display the ability to perform these moves. And then on top of that, they can add their own kind of personal individual flair. But with breaking, for example, like some dancers never do certain moves because it's just not their style. It's not their own personal, it's their own personal artistic choice to exclude certain things just as it is to include certain things. So for example, in breaking, you have a couple of basic elements. You have your top rock, which is the standing up dance. You have the down rock, which is the dance elements where you're on your hands and feet. You have back rock, which is still more like dance element, but you're lying on your back. And then you have your power moves, which are the big gymnastics looking things where the guys are flying through the air. But some b-boys, for example, never or almost never do power moves because they're what we call style heads. They're focused on rocking the beat, on having nice top rock and down rock and interesting transitions in between. While other b-boys do really little top rock and down rock because they are power heads. So they like to do lots of power moves and they can make their power moves really stylistic and really musical. So what happens if artistic gymnastics, the floor exercise, and again, I might be wrong here, but what happens if you start putting the same criteria on breaking where you say you have to do this top rock and you have to do this down rock and you have to do this power move, then huge numbers of really talented b-boys will be excluded from this competition and this battle in a way that the culture and the lifestyle of breaking doesn't exclude the b-boys and b-girls.
Okay. You know, on a slightly separate note, with breaking introduced as a sports event now, do you think that will change how people view breaking as a dance form, especially among those who were unfamiliar with it to begin with?
Yeah, I do think the introduction of breaking into the Olympics has a lot of potential to change how people view it, both positively in the sense that the Olympics now can be a kind of gateway for people to learn more about hip-hop culture. They can see breaking in the Olympics and go like, hey, you know, that's really cool. What is it? What's going on? And then things snowball and they find out more about not just the dance, but about the culture and all that's associated with it. But at the same time, so much of breaking is the kind of energy and tension and the vibe that is between dancers, both on stage and off stage. Whether we like it or not, it's true that sometimes people have problems with each other. Mm-hmm. And part of the history and culture of breaking is that the dance can be used to be a kind of mediator between that tension. But as a kind of mediator or as the point of release for this kind of tension between dance that has elements that are not always friendly or not always sportsmanlike, what will the Olympics do to that? Will the Olympics make it, will there be rules that say, you know, you can't do this kind of movement, you can't carry yourself a certain way, you're going to get disqualified for disrespecting your opponent? Yeah, so I don't know if the need to present breaking as an Olympic sport will force the dancers to behave in a way that is not authentic to breaking.
Mm. And looking towards Malaysia, how do you think this will impact the breaking community here? You know, will it increase interest in breaking?
I do think so, yes. Especially because now, if parents and kids are watching this together on TV during the Olympics, then parents are going to be like, oh, you know, this is an Olympic sport. Go ahead and do it. I will send you for classes, which will be great for the B-boys in Malaysia, especially those who make their living off teaching and performances, because it will open up many doors. I guess people are just like that, right? When you see something on TV, especially when it's in the Olympics, it must be legit and it must be respectable. So I do think it will be good for the context of Malaysia and also in general. Yeah, I do.
And are there enough opportunities for younger people to pursue breaking here?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the beauties about breaking and street dance in general, especially with the advent of YouTube and all sorts of other online platforms, is that breaking is a dance that potentially, even if you don't know anyone else, you can learn by yourself online for free, because there are so many good resources out there. On YouTube, there's a channel called Break Advice. There's another one called Vincenni TV. There are so many channels out there making tutorials and whatnot. And because breaking is a street dance and it's not a very proper thing like ballet or jazz, where you need to point your foot and turn out a certain way and have all the correct angles and whatnot. In breaking, you can have the essence of the idea, even if your form isn't perfect, then still be like, yeah, you know, that guy is breaking because he's rocking the beat, he's feeling it. So going back to your question, yes, I do think there are opportunities to pursue the dance in Malaysia, at least recreationally. I mean, as someone who just wants to do the dance professionally, I'm not super familiar with the breaking scene and street dance scene here in Malaysia, because a lot of my time dancing has been spent overseas. But I, from what I see online professionally, there are more opportunities coming up in Malaysia, both in terms of performances and also in terms of sponsorships. And also, yes, the ability to run a studio as more corporate sponsors come into the picture and people see good B-boys and B-girls can be an asset to their companies.
So if someone is interested in pursuing breaking, whether as a hobby or professionally, which individuals or studios would you recommend they look for?
Yeah, in Malaysia, in the Klang Valley, you could check out Peanut Butter Studio, which I believe is run by a group called the Rejuvenate Dance Crew. And in terms of breaking specifically, we have a local b-boy called Lego Sam, L-E-G-O-S-A-M, one word, who is part of a crew called Cypher's Kings. And Lego Sam has been doing some crazy things, like representing Malaysia overseas. And yeah, you should look for him on Instagram or YouTube. There's also another crew called Cartoon Network, spelled the very Malaysian way, K-A-T-O-O-N, Cartoon Network. They do hip-hop and different styles of street dance. But they're also really, really good and definitely worth watching.
Oh, great. Thanks for sharing your thoughts, Wei-An. That was dancer and choreographer Hua Wei-An, and he was talking to us about breaking making its official debut as an Olympic event, and he talked about why he thinks it won't be as easy to judge something like breaking as you would one of the other regular Olympic sports events. But I don't know what's regular anymore, do you?
I also feel like I know much more about breaking than I ever thought I would in my life.
Right? Up rock and locking and popping and all the cool names that the B-boys and B-girls have as well. So we asked you on Twitter, do you agree with breaking being included in the 2024 Olympics? We've got almost 67% of you saying no. 33% of you voted yes. More than a couple of comments. And no surprise there, a lot of people are voting for squash.
Mm. A very Malaysian, I think, sentiment. Bugbear about that one.
That's right, yeah. Alawia, Yusuf said squash, and also takraw. That's my full name, though, is very optimistic, says, why not? Because breaking needs athletic strength and skills, just like figure skating, synchronized swimming, and rhythmic gymnastics. Sorry, having a bit of problem with that one. On WhatsApp, we have Sharo Akma, who says squash as well. But sadly, since he pointed out that since Dato' Nicole David has retired, we've missed our opportunity to get an Olympic gold medal there. Heather says, not for the Olympics, but breaking should have their own world championship, which I believe they do.
Yes, several different international level competitions.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Julian says, here comes the millennial Olympics.
That's a tough one.
Yes.
Well, I would correct him there to say breaking actually began in the late 70s, so before the millennials.
That's right. Yeah. But I mean, like we said, there seems to be a move for the Olympic Federation to move towards targeting a youth audience. And why not, honestly? Mm. If I look at some of the other sporting events in the Olympics, I feel that some of it is entrenched in ancient times. And if it's not relevant anymore, why not refresh?
Yeah, but I am wondering, though, whether, are young people not interested in your more traditional, I don't know, your 100-meter dash. I can understand them maybe not being huge fans of, say, golf. But I'm wondering about this youth thing. But I can see, I think where I can see a logic is that the Olympics has become as much entertainment as it is sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's a spectator sport in that it's very much a TV spectator sport. And breakdancing Breaking makes for great TV, just like, rhythmic gymnastics or synchronized swimming. It looks great on TV versus someone running a marathon.
Yeah, we have to accept and acknowledge the fact that it is for entertainment consumption, isn't it? Mm. What do you think?
I'm really uncertain, and I think some of my resistance to this might come from the fact that I cover the arts, right? So for me, I'm always really hesitant when something that has its roots in creativity and arts and this kind of free-form cultural product being made so strict, you know, because a lot of what Wayan said, I could, you know, really resonated with me. This idea that it's not always about the most impressive moves. It's not always about hitting those marks. Sometimes it's about the individuality. It's about the story. How are those things going to be assessed? Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can. You know, a lot of these qualitative things can't be assessed. So my fear is that it will move away from... Or maybe what will happen is we'll have two distinct forms of breaking.
Mm.
The quote-unquote more authentic form and the sport form.
Yeah, that's right. The but it almost seems like in turning it into a rules-judged sporting event will sanitize it somehow.
Yes. Yeah.
And like you said, strip it of all the cultural elements, good and bad, good or bad, as Wayan, you know, took us through that historical perspective as well. It was very interesting to hear him talk about how the battle components can sometimes go off the... off the dance floor, I suppose, and spill over into other daily interactions. But that's all part and parcel of the culture, I suppose. And when you, you know, break it all down to a sporting event, does it actually end up marginalizing the culture and the subcultures who originated it in the first place?
That's exactly it, right? Because at the end of the day, taking something like breaking, when we say, oh, it gives it visibility or quote-unquote respectability, what we actually mean is not that it's going to shine more opportunities for people who have been sort of part of that subculture.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is that you're making it more accessible to more privileged people who can now compete on the world stage. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that necessarily provides much of a change. And I think the other thing for me is exactly what Wayan said about, oh, now parents will see it in the Olympics and it'll now be okay for people to compete.
Or for their kids to participate,
which for me is, again, one of those challenges with the arts, right? Our constant push that you only take it up if it means something.
Only if you can gain success out of it.
Yeah, if you can make you money, if you can make give you awards, or, oh, it looks good on your CV. But the arts are not always meant for that, right? They're meant to give you joy. They're meant to let you express yourself. How do you put a score on something like that?
Mm. Well, what do you think about the fact that, you know, in its traditional, original form, breaking is associated with gang culture, with all the issues related to a low-income African-American community, right? Drugs and poverty. Mm. And so raising it to the Olympic sporting level gives it acceptability?
But also erasure, like you said.
Yeah.
Breaking away from that route, because that route is very important to the dance. I find it quite interesting also, just to move away from this, how many, I think for a lot of people is, you know, like our listeners, for a lot of people, it's this idea that there are other sports that should have been included first.
Yeah.
And I think for me, sometimes that seems the more pressing question. If we don't have something like squash, I don't even play squash, but even to me, it feels like a more logical addition.
Well, we could go on and on forever, but I guess the decision is not within our hands. It will be making its debut in the 2024
yes.
Paris Olympics.
And I won't lie that I probably won't. I probably
will watch it.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. And if you're interested about, you know, to find out more about breaking and b-boy culture, a couple of documentaries that have been recommended to us are The Freshest Kids and Planet B-Boys. So you do check those out if you're interested.
Yes. And of course, you can continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can write to us at on Facebook. We are BFM The Bigger Picture. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/Daily Digest, on the BFM app, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and on Google Podcasts. So coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, I'll be speaking to Alina Murang, who has founded a project called Project Rane, which aims to collect children's folk songs from the Kelabit culture in Sarawak. So stay tuned for that after the 3 p.m. news. But first, in the spirit of today's discussion, we're leaving you with one of the breaking classics. This is Run DMC and Jason Nevins with It's Like That. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.